Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Right now, we have Dr. Ken Turner. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful.
It's a beautiful day out there.
It is great. Yeah, other than it was a little chillery this morning again.
Yep.
So, but what have we got that we're talking about today?
Well, you know, there's some good guys that were kind of bad, and there's some bad guys that were kind of good, and I'm going to talk about a bad guy that was pretty much bad.
Ooh,
but,
all right.
But, you know, the gunfighters as portrayed in the movies, the television screen, the dime novel, popular folklore is pretty much a myth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the drama of two gunslingers meeting in the street at high noon, the lightning fast draw, the roar of the exploding powder, the impact of the bullets, the crumpling of the body, those really didn't happen. Very, very little, if any.
I am totally dashed.
Yeah, and, you know, the carrying the gun clear down on their hip, clear down on their leg, that they didn't carry him there either. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, there were shootouts and a lot of card games erupted into violence. Guns flashed. People died. Unfortunately, a lot of times it was an innocent bystander that caught the bullet. So, you know, these opponents were not gunmen in the accepted sense of the word, nor were they really good with a gun, really. A bona fide gunfighter rarely let himself be drawn into this type of trouble. Instead, he sought the percentages and drew his weapon when the odds were on his side. So, most shootings actually took place between cowhands, farmers, businessmen, drifters, men usually under the influence of liquor, and a lot of times not even professional gunmen, as, again, as movies and Hollywood would have us believe.
Yeah, I think liquor had a play in a lot of things.
You know, but the term gunfighter did not even exist 100 years ago. In fact, newspapers referred to such characters as gunmen or shooters. So,
oh, really?
Gunfighter and gunslinger are actually modern terms cranked out by Hollywood and fiction writers. So there's another myth that you can stick away there. But, you know, and the fast draw is a modern thing. It did not exist in the so-called Wild West. In the period between the late 1860s and the early 1890s, when there were supposedly a lot of gunfighters, few towns had been terrorized by roving outlaw gangs, and almost none had ever even seen a gunfighter. Again, movies would have you believe that it happened every week in every town in the Old West.
All the time.
So, but, you know, practically all towns west of the Mississippi had laws against carrying weapons. And people ignored these ordinances, but nevertheless, they kept their six shooters out of sight. So, a gun was either tucked inside a belt, slung from a shoulder holster, or in a pocket, and gunmen dressed about like everybody else. They wore city clothes. And again, he wasn't the typical dressed in black, you know, with a mean look on his face. But they never worried about blinding speed, but they got the advantage by drawing and shooting when their opponent least expected it. So, those who did wear belt holsters invariably rode them high on the hip where it was more comfortable, and not the term hog leg is still, wearing it down on the leg is still not accurate. So, but you know, revolvers in the Old West were not reliable, but they were fairly accurate and reasonable during, when they're maintained properly. But the most popular weapon was the Colt single action 44 or 45 with the 4 3/4-inch barrel and a black rubber grips. A popular name for the Colt 45 was the Peacemaker. And it was single action model. They also called it the Thumb Buster because if you got your thumb in the way when that hammer came back,
it was nasty.
Yeah. So, but they had to be cocked by pulling the hammer back before firing, and this was done by using the second joint of the thumb. A careless handler often received a broken thumb or shot himself in the leg or the foot.
Because it was in the process of pulling the trigger back.
And I think that even happens today occasionally.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a guy that he was referred to as Wild Wolf of the Washita.
Wild Wolf
of the Washita. His name was Clay Allison. Now, I'm going to bet that there's not very many that have heard of this guy.
So, I would think you're right.
Yeah. He's not a Jesse James or Billy the Kid, but If ever a psychotic, deranged gunman lived, that man had to be Clay Allison. Little is known in the Western bloodletting about what he did. No one has ever written a reliable, definitive biography, and perhaps that's because there's so much killing that parts of it would be unbelievable. So, anyway, Allison claimed Tennessee at his home. He was born in 1840. He might have spent his life as a dirt farmer had the Civil War not come along. Now, though his record, service record is kind of sketchy, he gained a lot of experience in killing, and he liked what he learned, which is not good for the people he met. But scouting and spying, in those days, that seemed to be what he liked to do. And the story goes that the Federals captured him and sentenced him to be shot. On the eve of his execution, he murdered a guard and escaped. So that's the kind of guy we're dealing with here.
Well, I think that if I were going to be executed, I think I'd try to get away, too. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Confederate Army said Allison had an erratic mental condition dating back to a head wound he received in his youth. The Tennessee Light Artillery described him as suicidal and discharged him. So that's got to tell you a little bit if they don't even want him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because they kind of took everybody.
Yeah, they did. So do you want to take a little break right here?
Yep.
This might be a good spot.
Great time to take a break. I appreciate that. Child's World, locally owned for 13 years in downtown Burley. Wonderfully, very affordable birthday gifts. Gift wrapping is free. They carry many styles of blessing and baptism dresses along with white shirts and boys' suits up to size 20. They have quality strollers, car seats, walkers, beds, along with bedding. Anyone who needs Cherokee or Dickie scrubs, they can find those at A Child's World. And if you've got questions on how to put that car seat in that car, I'm sure they can help you out with that. There's a stupid commercial on the air right now playing about which way to put their kid in a child car seat. Are they rear-facing, down-facing? Well, I never heard of such a thing. Anyway, Child's World can help you out with that. An ambulatory service center or surgery center has been providing very professional care along with major cost savings, and they are located on Highland across from the hospital in Burley, and you can have life-saving colonoscopies done, hand and foot surgery, tonsils taken out if that's what you need, ear and sinus surgeries, dental procedures that require anesthesia. They can do cataract and eye surgeries, knee arthroscopes. I'm not a technologist, I can tell that. Just to name a few. And you can call for an appointment with Ambulatory Surgery Center at 677-8888. And Dr. History is brought to us by Minnecasia Cells at 1321 East Main Street in Burley, across from the airport. They are our sponsor for Dr. History. All your wood and remodeling, Western windows, all your shingles, good quality and carpet. Zach and the crew are there to serve you. Back to Dr. History.
Okay, we're talking about Clay Allison, nicknamed Wild Wolf of the Washita. Okay, so he's been discharged, and he took his medical discharge and simply enlisted in a unit which didn't care if he fought calmly or in a blind rage, so long as he fought. Hmm. Well, he went west following the war. He went to Texas, where he and another man got involved in an argument. Reportedly, they dug a grave, each agreeing that they would strip down, jump in the grave, and fight to the death with boy knives.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, however,
that's not real smart.
No. Anyway, common sense or the lack of a suitable day kept delaying the showdown until both men finally kind of dropped the matter. I think they both thought, yeah, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Allison went to see some cattlemen, Loving and Goodnight, about a job. So the two cattlemen put him to work as a trail herder. 2 weeks later, as they passed a small town, Allison, who had been drinking, rode down this main street, again, wearing nothing but a sombrero, boots, and a gun belt. Well, the sheriff tried to arrest him for indecent exposure, but Allison gave the officer what they call a strong smell of a smoking gun barrel, and the sheriff changed his mind. Who really would want to approach somebody like that?
I mean,
really?
Yeah.
You just hope he falls off his horse. Yeah. So anyway, his antiques earned him the nickname of Wild Wolf of the Ouachita. So now here we are, 1870. He's in New Mexico and actually established a small ranch. Before long, he came in contact with a guy by the name of Chuck Colbert. And this guy was a widely known, kind of a desperado, not a good guy. Seven notches on his pistol, so not a good guy. So the nature of their disagreement is unknown. It is enough that both men enjoyed their reputation. And, like little boys playing King of the Hill, they decided that only one could stand on top. So there's a little ego battle going on right here. Anyway, Colbert wanted Allison to be notch number 8, and Allison wanted Colbert to be notch number 1. So anyway, so here they are. The two spent a day together racing horses, and that evening went to a hotel for dinner before settling down to the more serious business. Well, as they ate, Colbert became over-anxious. He slowly eased his revolver out of its holster, nonchalantly raised it from under the wooden table, and with a big smile of victory, he pulled the trigger.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
But he did not lift the gun up far enough.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
The bullet struck the table edge and ricocheted across the room instead of going straight.
Oh, my goodness.
So Allison, being a little more calm and deliberate, shot Colbert squarely between the eyes. When asked why he didn't kill his man earlier, Allison replied that he did not wish to send Colbert to hell on an empty stomach.
Oh, well, so courtesy there.
Yeah. Anyway, of course, you know, not all of Clay's victims died by the gun. He actually lynched a few just to break the monotony.
Oh, well, yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's in New Mexico, and there was a guy named Charles Kennedy, a man who had murdered miners and travelers, who stopped at his cabin for a night's lodging. So this Charles Kennedy was a bad guy. Now, Allison happened to be with the posse that brought Kennedy in. Now, as far as Allison was concerned, the man had already been tried and found guilty. A few dark nights later, he and several friends took the murderer to the town slaughterhouse and hung him. So here's a guy that played on both sides of the law. Vigilante.
Whatever suited his fancy.
Yeah. Now, not long afterwards, a Methodist minister named F.J. Tolby was brutally slain. Rumors implicated a guy by the name of Cruz Vega. Now, since Vega understandably could not recall what happened, I don't know. I don't know anything about that, right? So Allison and his trusty friends threw a rope over a pole and assisted Vega with his faulty memory. After being hoisted up and down a few times, Vega's memory substantially improved. Enough away to implicate, to implicate another man. However, as he was already up in the air, the vigilantes rode off and just left him hanging there.
So, well, while you're here, why the heck?
You told us what we needed. You helped him.
That's why torture does not work.
Goodbye, you know.
Yeah.
But Vega was not without friends. There was a guy named Pancho Grego who vowed to kill Allison in retaliation. So Grego was friends with Vega, and he was going to find Allison and kill him. But Clay, when he heard this, he merely smiled. He bought the man a drink, then steered him over into a corner of the bar room and shot him dead.
You're going to get me. I'm going to get you first.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
So this killing in 1876 prompted Governor Samuel Axtell to place a $500 reward on Allison's head. And when no one, especially the local police officers, tried to collect it, they just wouldn't. They knew what kind of a guy they were dealing with. They didn't want to go after him.
Yeah, I'm not going to go after somebody who's crazy.
They don't pay me enough.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, the authorities finally had to do something when Allison murdered three soldiers of the 9th Cavalry. Now, even then, Sheriff Reinhardt wouldn't move without plenty of protection, and he found it with a detachment of soldiers whom he organized into a posse. and they quietly arrested Allison. So now he's finally caught. Well, Allison went to trial. The charges were dismissed for lack of evidence.
What?
And
well, yeah, you don't have any witnesses. Everybody's dead.
Exactly, exactly. And you, and who's going to stand up and say, yeah,
yeah,
he's guilty? Anyway, not long thereafter, in fact, 3 days before Christmas, 1876, Clay and his brother John were celebrating the holidays in Colorado. Both of them were full of Christmas cheer. And that evening, they were at a dance. And witnesses that were there said the brothers were rude. They were insulting. They kept stepping on other people's feet.
Well, I think that's kind of normal at a dance, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think they were a little more vigorous in their insulting manner. But anyway, Constable Charles Farber and two deputies armed themselves with shotguns and started shooting as soon as they entered the dance hall. John Allison, the brother, his back turned, went down first, but survived his wounds. Now, from across the room, Clay shot the constable four times, which instantly killed him, and he chased away the other officers. Now, later, he submitted to arrest primarily because his brother needed medical attention. So he couldn't just go off and leave him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least he had some scruples.
Yeah, take care of his brother. So, okay, here we go. So the trial eventually came up, and guess what? No witnesses. You've got a dance hall full of people, but
Nobody saw him
do that. So anyway, Farber's death may have been Allison's last killing. He actually married, he fathered two children, and gradually moderated his behavior. Sometimes, however, the old bravado still flared, like the time in St. Louis when he threatened to kill a man whom he did not even know. So he's, you know, even though he kind of simmered down,
the itching was still there.
He was still a, yeah. Anyway, though it may have been and probably was idle boasting, the threats got back to the man. Without saying who he was, he sidled up to the gunman and began idle conversation. Well, when Clay just as casually reached for his pistol pocket, the stranger knocked him down and beat him so unmercifully that Allison decided maybe he wouldn't kill him after all.
Oh,
kinda
wow.
Kind of talked him out of that.
Yeah.
So, and on another occasion, Allison saw a dentist for a toothache. But the nervous doctor extracted the wrong tooth. Now, you can imagine, Allison was not happy.
Wow.
He was pretty upset.
Not too many people would be.
Yeah. Well, he shoved the dentist into his chair, jerked out one of the doctor's molars, and was busy pulling out another one when some people stopped him.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that could make you a little spooky to be in a dentist to an outlaw. But you know, all men have to go sometime, and Allison's demise was as ironic as it was inglorious. He'd actually purchased a ranch near Pecos, Texas, and gone to town for supplies. Now, on his way home, he foolishly stood up to whip the horses. So he's on this wagon. So picture this. He's standing up, and as the horses lurched forward, a sack of grain tumbled from the wagon. Now, in grabbing for it, Allison fell also. The heavy wheels rolled over his neck and back and broke his back and his neck. And the wild wolf of the Ouachita was dead at the age of 47, July 3rd, 1887.
It always amazes me that a lot of these people died young, but all of the things that they did during that time frame is pretty amazing.
It is. And when you think of the older gunmen, those are not too plentiful.
No, they're not. No.
You know, you think about, and again, we always come back to good old Butch Cassidy, and, you know, was he really killed?
Or did he die down in California
or wherever,
Sun Valley?
there's lots of stories about him and Jesse James, and you know, were they really killed, or was it a fake thing so they could get away? You know, get away.
Yeah, and so they could change their lives and live it out. Yeah.
But the old gunslingers of the old West, you know, to really see it as it was is not really the way Hollywood depicts it.
Right.
So.
Right.
You know, love John Wayne and all those guys, but not quite accurate. But anyway, that's the story of Clay Allison.
That is really interesting.
And if somebody else has heard about him, send me a note on my webpage.
Webpage is?
Dr-History.com.
Dr-History.com. Yep. All right. And so people can listen to these over and over, can't they?
Oh, yes. There's probably over 100 stories on there right now on Dr-History.com. And being summers here also, A few years back, I made a CD that takes you from the town of Burley, the museum, up through Declo, Elba, Alamo, the City of Rocks, over to Oakley and back to Burley. And I tell stories, and there's a map, and you turn it off and on as you listen to that. And you can get those at the museum or at the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Yeah, that and that's great history from just here locally.
Yeah,
and explains why and what the loop is. And
right,
it's
and
kind
of you know, I talk about the Alamo Creek Massacre, the last stagecoach hold up in Idaho. One real quick story I'll tell that is on there. Back in the days of Prohibition, up in Oakley, they used to take the liquor and put it in the bank vault, and when it was time to get rid of the evidence, they just destroy it. So one winter evening, it was a light snow, the sheriff and the judge took a couple of cases of liquor out in the alley and started emptying the alcohol into the snow, and a few people started watching and looking, and pretty soon a little crowd gathered, and pretty soon people started making snowballs. The difference is these snowballs were eaten. They weren't thrown.
That was when shooters were invented.
And a note said that a good time was had by all.
Oh, yeah, think.
Yeah, just another story.
They didn't worry about yellow snow, I take it.
No, I guess they had a good time.
Oh, they would have.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.